supposed to be this big deal about the moon passing in front of the sun, as if it's never happened before in the history of the world, right? Don't stare too long up in it, but I was thinking about that song. You know, we make a big deal out of something that really isn't that big of a deal to God. Think about that for a second. How hard is it for God to pass the moon in front of the sun? How many of you plan on burning your eyelids looking at it tomorrow? One person in the church. Okay, that's good. You let me know how that goes. But it is a great phenomenon. It does show us the awesome power of God, but it's not something that God has to sit here and plan for 2,000 years to figure out how he's going to get enough strength to do that. He just simply does. There you go. Although, I wish I had stock in some of those glasses out there, okay? All right, folks, Galatians chapter 6 this morning. What a great, 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 great thing. Oh, just go before a great God. And now we get to practically use what we've been studying and what we've been singing today. This is a message that I have promised this church family, or pieces of this church family, for about 10 years. But I could not just go and preach it, because it has to be in context, and it has to be in a systematized study, and it has to fit. And I can't just stand up there and go, whoa, you know, okay, my church family really needs this week, so I got to change what I'm going to preach and preach it to you. No, this is all part of this Amazing Well series. It's something that is very important, and it's something that, on one hand, I think our church family gets a pretty good passing grade, probably a B+, maybe A-, meaning this, there's room for improvement. On the other hand, many of you fail. And you may not know who you are yet, but I promise you at the end of this, you're going to know whether or not you're a failure or not. And when I say that with all the love and the grace and the mercy that this shepherd can bestow to you, but you stink at some of this a little bit. And we're going to get to that in a moment. I had the opportunity, like I said, this week, we went to the fair. The girls flew out, and Colton and I left at 5 o'clock Friday morning. We played golf in Nebraska, and Cole's like, man, I hate playing golf in Nebraska. And I said, why do you hate playing golf in Nebraska? He said his words exactly, it's Nebraska. And I said, I'm with you on that one. So we played golf. The girls flew in at 11 o'clock. We picked them up at the Omaha airport. We spent the night, got up, went to the fair Friday or Saturday, went to the fair Sunday, went to the fair Monday, went back to Omaha, dropped the ladies off at 4 a.m. at the airport in Omaha on Tuesday morning, went back to the fair, and while I was there in Omaha, something happened. I drove by a place that I had visited when I was a kid, a place called Boys Town. Anybody know what Boys Town is? Been to Boys Town? I've been to Boys Town. I was a young kid. And when I found out it was a place for orphans, when my parents took us there to Boys Town, I thought they were going to drop me and my brother off. Thank God that we hitched a ride in the back of their Plymouth Duster. When I was a kid, my parents didn't care about us. We sat the back window on our family vacation. Anybody riding their cars in the back window? Your parents hated you too. I understand that. Yeah. The most constricting thing in this world are seatbelts. Okay? I get rashes from seatbelts, but alright, that's okay. I'll play by the rule. But we go there. I'll never forget leaves an indelible mark in my life. Picture of a boy, here's Knuckles. Picture of a smart, older boy holding a smaller boy with the words of this. He ain't heavy, however. He's my dad. Now I'm a young man, I don't know, I'm probably 10 years old then. I don't know what God's going to call me to preach. I don't know that I'm going to be a pastor. I don't know that I'm going to be a pastor in this church. But I can tell you those words forever have left a burden on my heart. What happens? The body believes really with it. What happens if we really understand to be together in reserve providers to compete together. What happens when people can be used by God? The very well that is true. There's a couple of sides to this. This is why I say, I think, from a church perspective, we get an A. But from an individual side, many of us fail miserably. We will talk about that. Look at Galatians chapter 6, 1. Brothers, if someone has got the sin, you are more spiritual, should restore him gently. But watch yourself, and you may also be tempted. Now, we're going to talk about the one another. We're going to talk about the puzzle pieces that God gives us for his church to minister and come together and form this big, beautiful picture that God desires for this church. We're talking about it under the guise of this amazing love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. By the way, let me ask you this. How long did Jason take last week? Hour? Hour and a half? I got that long because I was going to beat him today. All right, so I'll be done in it. It was not 20 minutes. It was not 15, 20. I know it's his birthday, but wait a second. After my message, he's going to come out in our closing song as he's going to sing happy birthday to himself today. But don't tell Jason that it's his 40th birthday, but Jason's 40th birthday today. Thanks for holding point 2, 3, and 4. 2, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that he has something when he has nothing, he deceives himself. Even we all need one another. Each one of you, each one should test his own action. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one is carried. I want you to understand, my friends, today that we talk about being an inspiring and committed community. It's about bearing one another's burden. Go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And we're going to come back to 6:1, but that's another time where it talks very spiritually about how you restore one another that has fallen in sin or fallen in a trap, if you will. But today, for the purpose of today, I want to make this as general as possible because this is equally specific to that, but it's also wonderfully and beautifully general to apply to any time that somebody needs a burden to be carried. I want you to know first and foremost that we need to understand that there is a certain reality within Christianity. And that certain reality contains two aspects of it. There is a certain part of Christianity that I live my life for myself, okay? That it is about me before a holy God. That's what Galatians 6:5 says. For each man should carry his, for each should carry his own load. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But there's also another part of this, that not only does Todd Harker live my life or my Christian experience for myself, but there's also a part of Todd Harker that I live my life with others. Meaning this, that we are absolutely connected to one another in the body of Christ. We have the same Lord, we have the same faith, we have the same baptism, we have the same Holy Spirit, we have the same place that we minister one to another in. So I cannot divorce myself from Jen, even though I'd like to because she stole my thunder with Jason's birthday, but it's okay, I'll forgive her because that's another one another. But, I am connected to Jen. I am connected to Alan. Remember, Alan gives me these little things before Sunday school, and then I have to help y'all understand that. Thank you, Alan. Do not read anymore this week. If we are connected one to another, okay? When one member of this body hurts, we should all hurt. Now, I must say this. I felt really horrible, seriously, on most of that Sunday night. No, Thursday night. I received a text message from this one right here saying she is sick. My text message back was pretty much, get over it. Because he is your backup and he's my backup, so I got him backing up me first before you, and I'm like, we're just going to pray out of the whatever. Then on Monday morning at 6 a.m., I get this text from David saying, just so you know, Donnell went in for emergency RPF. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I gave no work, and she said, don't worry about it, I had bacon, and I felt so much better after that. But there's a part, when I have a worship person that I care very deeply about, sick, there's a part when I have somebody over here that is sick, or that is hurting, or somebody who's lost a job, or somebody's going through something. I am connected to the body of Christ, and you ought to be connected as puzzle pieces. We are forming a beautiful picture together for the glory of God, amen? And not every puzzle piece looks the same way. We can't all be corner pieces. We can't all be wall pieces or what do they call it, edge pieces. Some of us have to be those things in the middle. But nonetheless, every single one of us matter to God. And every single one of us are used by God to create this beautiful puzzle piece and puzzle picture when it's done. And so there's a sense, I do this for myself. I need to be found faithful before the Lord Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But at the other part, I am living it with you and for you. That's where all the one another's are. Bear one another's burdens, so for the law of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. Forgive one another, and you're still forgiven today. Humble yourselves before one another. Be devoted before. Pray for one another. All of these types of things. We are living this life not only for ourselves, but we are committed as a body of believers to live it with one another. And when we understand that, it is amazing what this place truly could become. But keep in mind, Satan has a different agenda. Satan's agenda is to keep us isolated, discouraged, depressed, so that the one another's cannot minister to that person. But God's design, God's will, is that we love one another, that love is an action love for one another. And here, it's enacted by bearing one another's burden. Now, here's the second aspect of becoming a inspired, committed community. We also have to understand that there is a principle of crisis. When I was in my ministry in New Jersey, I had a very wise man come into my office one day and sat down, and we started talking. And he said to me, you need to understand the principle of crisis. Okay, it's the principle of crisis. So on the screen for you, we are good work. The matter of crisis is a... Alright, I'll do it then. Here it is. I want you to divide your life into like sections of birth. You have a group of friends, maybe it's 25, maybe it's 50, maybe it's 75. So if it's 75, 25% of your friends are 25 friends here, 25 friends here, 25 friends here. This is not a hard, fast rule, but this is a, if you look at your life currently, you'll understand the principle is somewhat real. What it means is that at any given moment in your life, if you have three friends, one is going through a crisis. One is coming out of the crisis. Then one is about to go through the crisis. Let me define a crisis for you. This can be anything. This could be a blown appendix on a Monday morning. This could be a loss of a job. This could be a loss of a spouse. This could be something that is happening in your family. This could be something that is physical. It could be financial. It could be health related. It could be a relationship go bad. Now, it could really be anything that would be considered a crisis. But you just think about this for a moment. Think about your inner circle of your people. How many of them right now are going through a crisis? Maybe that person is you. How many of them are kind of coming out of a crisis? My best friend lost his dad a year and a half ago. He is starting to come out of that. Well, just his best friend, he's his partner. He was his dad. He was the guy he talked to for 20 hours a day on the phone. And sometimes a young man to come home. So my best friend's been hurting for a year and a half. I went to lunch with my buddy on Tuesday. My buddy just had a stroke. Not only did he have a stroke, but to where his whole right side was paralyzed. He's coming out of that now. He had a situation just a few weeks ago when we were talking about getting together where he had to be home for 3 days because he had done something and he was suffering a medical issue. I look around and I see people in this church. We have people that have gone through a crisis. Maybe Veronica went through a crisis. Donnell went through a crisis. We have had people in this church that have gone through crises. We have a person in our church that even though it's been a longer period, he still goes through a crisis in Lewis. Was that a serious car accident about 3 years ago, 4 years ago? He still struggles with that. These crises aren't necessarily just a moment of crisis. Sometimes this could be a rather lengthy season that God sends somebody through a crisis. Maybe it's cancer that you have to go through for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Maybe it's cancer you have to go through for 10 or 20 years. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe whatever it is. Maybe you're without a job, and some people get a job in a week, but you've been 2 years without. You're in a crisis. Now, there's some people that are coming out of a crisis. Sometimes this happens right in your own family. But I'll tell you this, and here's what I know, and it doesn't matter if the crisis is small or the crisis is huge. A crisis is a crisis. There will be a third of your friends, roughly speaking, that are about ready to go in to the crisis. You think about our prayer chain over the last year. We had one guy in a neck brace, one woman in a sling, and on top of it, they buried two people. Crisis, 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 crisis. I say all that because in a crisis, there's an opportunity for the body of Christ to minister. We dare not bury our heads in the sand and pretend that everybody is okay. The reason why I teach you this is because what you're going to find out is people sitting right next to you aren't okay. Some of them are going through a really tough time. But you know what Satan says? Suffering silence. Well, that's no okay. You know that there? I want to the body of Christ. I want to the body of Christ. Here's the first part of what I want to do with that. Number 3, understand that there is a command to come alongside. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 is very specific. It is a command to you, it is a command to me. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But then he says this in verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. Now wait a second, what is it? Am I supposed to carry my burden, or am I supposed to carry my load? Yes. Okay? Someone else carries your burden. You are to carry your load. And here is what he's talking about. We are commanded to bear burdens, but I am not commanded to carry your load. There are two different Greek words deployed here. The word burden there is burdens are too heavy for one person to walk through. okay? It might be a lengthy disease. It might be somebody had a car accident. It might be somebody lost a job, and they just need other people to come in and minister to them. Carry your load is, loads are the daily tax of hoping. Meaning, I have a 50-pound pack. That's what God is calling you to carry. Listen, I am your shepherd. My load is to be your shepherd. I am Wendy's husband. My load is to be Wendy's husband. I have my four kids and their spouses, father and father-in-law. My responsibility is, and my load is to be their dad and their father-in-law. I am my parents' son, I'm my brother's brother, and I'm people's friends. That is my load to carry. But a burden might be this. Something happens in my family that I can't handle. It's too difficult to deal with. And I have to be willing, and I have to be humble for someone else to come in and help. So, we have someone who's well in appendix. I think she's jealous of her husband, who's a little upstart. The great thing is that they have matching scars. I can't wait to see their matching hats. Yeah, be a Christmas sign. But here's what? We get to bear the burden. We get to come alongside with someone else to minister. It's more than they can handle. Newsflash, folks. There are people right here in this facility that are going to stop this much for them to handle. We happen to know about that. We are very easy with dealing with people who don't have us skills. How do we minister to them? How do we minister to John and Dana and baby Veronica? How do we minister to Pam? Oh, but you know, I've got to call Pam 17 times to pray with her. You know, I'm going to well, I prayed by myself at 85 miles an hour on I-80. Lord, just be with her anyway. Did you get healed? You're doing fine, thank you, okay. I closed my eyes while I was driving. I said, Colton, take the wheel. No, it's Jesus take the wheel. Jesus take the wheel. Thank God I got that. And our family came on, go on the highway, go on, go on. Okay, now what? We need to be willing to let other people in. Because the body of Christ is strongest when we are the most honest one with another. Now the problem is, we've been taught differently. You don't want any dirty laundry on somebody else because they're just going to get it. I understand. I got destroyed. I did. I opened it up and shared those people to the people that I got to. If you care about that same sin, because what that does is it ultimately can destroy the body and affect the message of Jesus Christ. So what we really do is when we come here, we become mindless robots just going through the motions of church. He asked you, well, I'm going to church or I'm going to feed it. Just like that one. We went to the 40th birthday party today. Jason didn't have a point. But what was the craziest thing about it is that about 15 minutes after he said surprise for him to go there, the man began to suggest his wife that she was, so he said, you go answer it this time. So he answered it with this word, surprise! Oh my goodness, what happened? He's here for a shop, not very good. You haven't seen or talked to him from your diner shop. Thank you, sir. Surprise, Chris. Who got the real surprise? Chris, Chris. Jason comes in. Here's the deal. Andy, before, said he doesn't know this is going to happen. This is the one guy who would take a bullet for. You know what that means? They want to look good. He comes in, lets everybody know. He said, this is my buddy's shop. And he says, this is the one guy that would take a bullet for. When I'm carrying my brother's burdens, and you're carrying my brother's burdens, we are living the peace. And you know what? I'll take a bullet for you. I'll sacrifice what you want this week to help bless your life. To help you walk through this. But the reason why I do that, the only way I can do that is if I know what it is. The only way that this church can minister one to another the way that pleases God is for this church to be open and honest with what they really need. We touched about it in Sunday school. Do you realize that there are some people here that are having a spiritual crisis so big? You don't know about it because it's on the show. You come to church, you open our Bibles, you've done our thing, and go home. That's not church. You wonder why it took me 10 years to put this together? This ain't easy. Because this is where our church lives. Now sometimes the pastor knows. Oh, I love this, pastor. I need you to know about this, but you can't tell anybody. What am I supposed to do with that? They'd be too embarrassed. People that are doing the things you're going through right now more embarrassing than who's in the church. Happen as I inquire on the 44th birthday. But I wouldn't want to do it with any other group of people than this one. But I have to send your son away February 17th, 2014. But I wouldn't want to do it with any other group of people. Because there is some time. I can stand here and say this to you. You can start to do it all for the knowledge of God. Because I was praying for peace, God. Skip the fall for me. Let me over and let me go. People wouldn't let me do that. The heart, yeah, is hard. But I'd rather be a part of the living presence, body of Christ, that's biblically accurate and biblically practicing the unity of the people on this call. I want you to understand. Number four, I want you to understand that there are opportunities to be blessed. This is for the burden. And why I'm blessed that someone knows for me. I am blessed that someone cares about my need. And I am blessed that someone helps my need. To go back to the story of war, I've never been a more spiritual not warm. My understanding is that when a filter goes down, he's running down around him. It's easier to do it without him for himself. I imagine my friend sitting outside of town where another place was just plenty close to the wall across to the jacket that he was talking about. His own story of what he sees, he bought it for every one of them. But when the bowl goes down, and the first time that he cries out for his medic, his buddies rally around him. You hear this all the time. No man, laugh, bump, bump. He had got the Scott Perrin that wounded. He had got the Scott Perrin one of others wounded. If you got a pull him by the shirt, if you got a pull him by the vest, if you got a pull him by a leg, if you have to get him out of there and claw off, he kills. We have to understand that this is a battle that we are in, it's a spiritual battle. And right now there are people, I can tell you this because I'm your shepherd, there are people home today, I know them, I love them, I care about them, that are falling prey to Satan saying, no one cares. But not everybody that's home is feeling that way. David is not hurting right now. He's got his spiritual priorities in place because they're sick and he's bearing a burden for them. Some people, I can tell you that, are home because Satan is isolating them. And in some cases, he is the body of God. Hell is the body of Christ. There is a special kind of blessing that I know as a pastor that I don't have to carry everybody for this church to minister. It does wonderful ministry to itself. We have a bank account. Y'all have. Y'all bless John and Anna one more. The people that work on a way to bless them more. There were people that went to the hospital for one to another, one to another. There's something awesome that even though I want to be the deepest, darkest moment of all life, that that is to get me. I would have been alone. So here's the point that we have to talk about. There needs to be a rule for our understanding, my friend, that there are rules to be blessed. If I ought to judge us, then nobody judges our education. Just the pastor that I've got in my church. But we have a lot of things to do with people. The first one that I want you to understand is that if we're going to care one another first, then something has to be open. We have to be open to receive the blessing. There is nothing that destroys trying to be a blessing. And when somebody refuses to be open to receive the blessing, we have to be thankful, not embarrassed, for receiving the blessing. This concept of, well, we're just, Pastor, we're quiet people. We don't want anybody to know, we don't want to trouble anybody. I don't want anybody to know my business. You know what I'm from. It puts it up. We're really struggling right now in our marriage, but don't you pay anybody. Don't anybody pay for it. That's what I'm telling you, but you can't say a thing to the elders. You can't say a thing to the deacons. That's right. I don't want to go around on a prayer chain. No prayer. There's some things we don't pray on a prayer chain. We can always make them our spokes, like we had this last week. But it is hard to minister one to another. And I understand this culture wants us to be isolated. But God does not. And so if somebody in your life wants to bless you, okay. Be open. Be thankful. I ran out of spaces here, but be humble. Be genuinely gracious. Stop being so full of pride. Now, I can do it myself. I don't need anybody else. How's that working for you, folks? You hear what Donald said? Thank God Dave was home. Because if Dave hadn't been home, she would have driven herself. How far do you think she would have got? That is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. We hit ourselves. I can do it. No one else needs to know. I'm going to be there myself. And you know what? Be honest, you're missing it. Physicians can't heal themselves. It's one of the hardest things to do I have found in ministry trying to bless people. Whether it's through the Deacon Fund, whether it's through small group ministry, whether it's through food ministry, whether it's through some other form of ministry. We have a long way to go, that's all. Easy to say. But if we're going to be all that God desires for us to be, then I have to be as equal to go out of my way to be a blessing as I am to receive a blessing. Thank you for ministering to me. Thank you for ministering to my family. And I need to demonstrate that. It's so unique. We understand what God has called us to. You know, I have to tell people that I have a good one. Your marriage is in trouble right now. Why aren't you up here being prayed for? You're struggling because you haven't found a job. When's the last time two or three believers in the name of Jesus prayed over you? You got a kid far away from Christ? When's the last time you let somebody pray for that? You got a health-related issue that's scaring you to death? Can somebody come alongside of you and take you to the doctor or help you out? But what happens is we suffer in silence. Let me just change that for a minute. We suffer. There is a joy to know, and that people care, and that people are praying. And it's a wonderful thing when people say, well, you know, I was such and such. You know what? Yeah, thank you for praying for me. I really did. Today was actually a good day. This week was actually a good week. But you know what happens? Too much pride permeates the church of Jesus Christ. And what's crazy about that, my friends, is that pride is from Satan. We come to Jesus by being humble. Sometimes that's the last time we ever will. Maybe what we ought to do is be more humble before the Lord Jesus Christ and the divine reason. Humble yourself one to another. Humble yourself before the Lord for the deeper and deeper life to live. Learn to be a blessing. But learn to receive the best. I want you to know that I'll be the first one to start right after this service. You know, it comes to me, first of all, since that's not, I love to get a blessing from you. I love to take you out to lunch. I don't want to be happy. Just have to tell them. No. Just joking. The folks, that's the church. Take a care of your family. You want family member first. Y'all the resulting family will have that family gets together around that family member who goes out of his way to be a blessing. Is there a way that it works and fits for the welfare? God asks and says, yes. Bless to be a blessing. See the blessings to bless someone. Thank you.